Today's Sober Friends podcast is brought to you by Bill, who bought us 5 coffees. And Bill left this message for us. He said, "Hi, I'm Bill. I'm an alcoholic. I really enjoy your podcast and the guests that you have. I've been alcohol-free since March of 2019, but I had a slip with some pot cookies in 2022. And with the help of my therapist and AA, my sobriety is better than ever, and I'm learning how to live one day at a time. When I can't get to a meeting, sober podcasts are an easy way for me to connect with other sober friends. Keep up the good work. Thank you for sharing, Bill. This is the best. This is exactly why we're out here, to help supplement for people like you. And if you want to be in the ear and help people like Bill, why don't you head over to buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod. I'm Matt.
Hey, I'm Steve.
Hey, I'm John.
This is the Sober Friends Podcast. We're here for the sober curious, the new guy, and the old timer. We're here to talk about the stuff anyone looking to live alcohol-free has to face day to day, and how we overcame those struggles. We speak for no 12-step group, but we do try to remain anonymous. You're not alone. This is the Sober Friends Podcast. Steve, how many times have I done that intro talking about somebody doing a donation and I hit the button and nothing happens? I hit that button. I hit the post. I feel like a friggin' professional tonight.
Yeah,
he did. Might as well just close the mics.
Yeah.
Shut it off.
Drop the mic.
And be on our way.
Yeah, he actually did hit all that pretty good. It actually worked out well.
Yeah, it only took like 157 times.
Right.
157 episodes to do that right.
Well, after the first try that you didn't get right, it worked out fine.
Oh, we'll cut that out. So it's funny that we're talking that somebody bought us 5 coffees, and this is the primary way that we pay our bills, is that you are nice enough to say this has value. We talked about it on Monday. By the way, somebody reached out as well on Facebook, and I never check Facebook, and it just so happened, and the guy's like, "Yeah, I live in Connecticut. I work in the town that you live in." And I'm like, "Oh, shit. You should stop by Monday." He's like, "I was thinking of stopping by Monday. I was looking for good meetings." Like, you can stop Monday, you can stop Friday, and you will find some good people. So it was like total out of the blue. I never go to that Facebook page, and I did. And I hope the guy I talked to that we see.
Yeah, so, be nice.
Yeah, if you're in Connecticut, you are welcome to stop by one of our meetings. They're good meetings. Absolutely. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the issues that AA is facing and where it comes with money. We talked in our business. Was it in the business meeting or was it before?
It was both, but it started before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So GSO, which is the General Service Organization, headquarters of AA, is at something like, a $1 million deficit, mm-hmm. which for this, that may not seem like a lot, but AA is not big and there's not a lot of money. So that's a huge deficit. And AA makes a lot of its money through written literature, like books. That's where a lot of the money comes from. It's less of the donations. And I thought this is a really good time to talk about the AA seventh tradition, where spirituality and money do mix, and the purpose and the importance of donating to something like this. And what do you get from it? And are there some things with AA that needs to change in the revenue generating structure?
Change. I hate change.
Yeah. These freaking people, you hit the button and nothing happens. So these freaking people here.
By myself, I'll take yous physically.
Yeah, these guys do not like change. You don't want to change the business model, do you, old timer?
I'm telling you, get away from me.
You know, Matt, it is one of the things that we talk about. You and I talk about it a lot. So we talk about it on the podcast and off of the podcast about AA. And, you know, one of the questions that we can sort of kick around tonight is, does a business model that was created, you know, 90 years ago, basically, right, more or less, and then revised a little bit, probably, I don't know, 70 years ago, in the 50s, when they wrote all the traditions and stuff. Like, does that business model still work in today's world?
What company has a business model from the 50s?
Right. So that's the question. That's what AA is trying to hold on to. And man, it is hard to make changes. And I'm not advocating for a lot of changes to it, because I'm not sure what the right answer is. All I know is, as we talked a little bit beforehand, you're right. I mean, the deficit of AA is directly due to the lack of sales of printed literature. Books, right. Books mostly, but also pamphlets, right? When groups buy pamphlets, they make a little bit of money on that. So, and we've been talking about that is like, you know, do the pamphlets so that if you go to a meeting, your group may have pamphlets out. Like there's a rack with all kinds of pamphlets. They were really big 20 years ago. They were big, right? I mean, you needed them because that's how people found out. People right. took them. You brought them home with you. Maybe you had a friend. You brought them home and you handed a friend one of these pamphlets to flip through. Still works today. Some of that could still work today. I'm not saying there's no place for them. I just don't think that place is as big with the, you know, with all of the rehab centers that we have and all of the places out there now. There's just so many other ways to get that information out there. And plus, you know, plus through the digital world.
Digital tools. I look at the people who have all of these communities that are not part of AA. I'm just going to look up Jill Teets's organization because she comes to mind. She has a community where she has people who go to AA and are part of her community. This is completely digital. There is a bunch of things. I'm just looking to see what she charges. It's $39 a month. And when you think $39 a month is a lot, if you go to an AA meeting a couple times a week and you drop $2 in the basket, you're going to get the $39 pretty quickly. Yeah. So I look at something like that. That's reasonable. That's a good price. Maybe she should raise her prices.
Yeah.
And when I look, if you go to AA's webs, if you go to like YouTube and you find the AA page, it is brutal, brutally bad. These are people who have no idea what they're doing digitally. And I think if you want to raise money long term, there has to be a digital model. You got to be like the New York Times, and there's a place for a physical paper. But New York Times is making its money on digital products, podcasts, and subscribing to their cooking channel and subscribing to The Atlantic. And I wish I had the answer of what that would look like, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I'm sure they're talking about it. I'm sure they're looking at it. But the thing about AA is the way the organization is set up. It's a bottom-up organization, right? So,
right.
So there's not a lot you can do. It's not like all these people in GSO in New York or wherever they might be can just say, hey, we're going to make these changes. Now, again, I'm not speaking that I know all the rules. I don't. I'm not going to talk like I know everything. So if you're out there and you know this stuff and you've served on a lot of this stuff, reach out to us and correct us on stuff. But any big change has to go through the membership. Right. It has mm-hmm. to go through down to the groups, and there has to be some votes, and there has to be some stuff, some input. I mean, so it's a very slow moving, big ship, if you will, and to try to make a change, to try to make a turn really, really is hard. And we still do have a lot of those old cranky people that you love to push the button and
you're a creep,
right?
Get away from me.
Those people are still out there. Listen, if you we know plenty of guys who have 30 or 40 years, you know, pushing 40 years of sobriety, that's mid-80s stuff, and mid-80s is a world away from what's out there today.
I went to a GSR meeting a couple years ago when I was still the treasurer. And somebody got up and said, God damn it, you have to understand that people just don't have computers.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
And there are, of course, there are people, especially alcoholics.
I mean, there are people.
Right.
But it is more few and far between.
Absolutely. And almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody has a smartphone, which means they have a computer nowadays, right? And I mean, that's the difference, right? If you have a smartphone, and it'd be interesting to know what that percentage of people is in the United States, not worldwide, especially, but I guess it's a worldwide program. But, a lot of people have that ability. And even in developing nations, I worked in that business, and, my boss is Pakistani, and he talks about how, some of those guys have, they keep two different phones, right? Like over there. And again, it's, Phones are cheap. I mean, the phones we use in America aren't cheap. We use the good phones, but across the world, there's a lot of cheap phones that they use out there.
That's why Android is popular.
Right.
And Apple doesn't want the whole world using the iPhone because they want it to be a luxury product.
Yeah. And they want to keep the price high. Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, so yeah, there's a lot of issues with this. We were talking about it before, right? For those who don't know, AA takes no outside contributions. So corporate America cannot, you know, make a donation. Like right. somebody, you know, Warren Buffett cannot come in and say, I'm going to leave you $100 million. Like they can't, you know, and again, these are traditions that were set down in the 50s.
This is a good time to reset one of the most famous donations that AA had to say no to, and it really broke people's hearts. I was going to say Robert Irsay, and I don't think it's his son, Jim Irsay. Right. So Jim Irsay went and bought the original manuscript to the Big Book, and he decided, I'm going to donate this to AA, and they declined it. Because we can't take this as an outside contribution, and this may cause controversy, so we can't do it.
It had too much value, right? Yeah,
because of the value, he was paid some $1 million or something like that, which was chump change for him, but for AA, you can't do it as a donation. It's too much. It's an outside contribution, and so Jim Irsay still has the manuscript.
Yeah. And I'm sure he thought, hey, I'll buy this and pass it on to the group, right? It'll be a nice thing to do. And he didn't understand it. And you know, unless you're an alcoholic and you're in here, part of it, then you won't understand it. The other thing that we talked about, and we looked it up, and that this we know is right, is the maximum contribution that they can accept from an individual is $5,000. Now, again, you might say, oh, that's a lot of money.
Not really.
Well, I mean, if you get enough of them, but yeah, I mean, like how many people are donating that much money to AA? So, you know, most of the money is made through the groups, through, you know, like you said, and it's interesting. You just talked about Jill's community. And when you threw out that number, $39 or whatever it was, I was like, oh, that's a lot of money for a month. But you're absolutely right. Well, if you go to a bunch of meetings, I drop $40 a month in my meetings easily, more than that, actually. If I go to more meetings, because I drop $40 a month just for my two home groups. So then last night, my wife went out with dinner with a friend. So I shot up to a meeting at a club around here, right? I went to the men's meeting at 5:30. I'm like, oh, I'm going to shoot up there. I dropped $2 in that basket, right? So, you know, so you're right. It adds up. And our buddy Nedson and I were talking about how some people only throw a buck or two into it. And I said, if you go to a lot of meetings, it's hard to throw more than a buck or two into a basket. You know, I know guys who go to two or three meetings a day sometimes. They may go to 10 meetings a week. You know, it's like, so it's really hard to throw too much money in the basket if you're going to that many meetings. So you got to pick and choose a little bit. That's why I pick and choose to support my home groups well, and make sure that we have enough money to do what we need to do.
Yes.
And then what if I go to another meeting that I typically don't go to? I definitely, you know, I always throw something in the basket, and I can afford to do that, but not everybody can.
And so the other issue is there are meetings that are more flush than others.
Yeah.
I think there have been some times that because we had some people with a little bit of money in our Monday night meeting that we were able to sustain it when we had like four or five people. We were lucky that way. And then the meeting built up that there's a nice little hall. Right. I went to a big meeting one time that I was waiting for it to come back so I could break a 20 or something. And I couldn't break the 20, even though there were a lot of people there. Yeah. And I think there's a meeting on a Tuesday night at Pathfinders that they very rarely donate up because there's so few people that go.
Right.
And it's done that way. You don't want to make the meetings that are very popular more powerful because they generate money because there is a quality. But part of the money is, so this is a good time to break down the seventh tradition, why we donate. There are some expenses that a group has. The biggest one is rent. There has to be rent. And a church, it's typically at a church because a church, they have places that you can do it. You can go in the basement and they don't really charge a lot. And there have been some instances where churches will go, well, it's okay. You don't have to pay us. Just have the meeting. We want you to be sober. And the tradition says, no,
right.
Can't do that. That there has to be some money passing hands. We can't take that for free.
So we have to give it, in that case, you give a donation, right? And that's like the old Friday night meeting, the guys there, like that, they've never, we've not, that group never had rent, but they'd give a donation. And so every, you know, every quarter or whatever, they give a donation. And then, you know, typically around the holiday time, they give a donation. The meeting I went to last night, interesting that we talked about this, right? It wasn't a huge meeting, but maybe it's bigger. And again, it a lot of older guys there. So guys who have some money, but they had over, like, they had almost $800 in their kitty. That's lot of money.
But you can't have that.
That's a lot of money. Well, they were donating it too. They do a big Christmas party for kids up there, up at this club. And so they were donating, they were doing a big chunk, big donation to that Christmas party, I guess, which is one of their traditions, which is why I think that they were saving it. But that's a lot of money for a group, right? And in our things, I've been treasurer, you're treasurer now of our Monday night group. I've been treasurer before, and I've always pushed, and all the guys have always pushed that. Like every quarter, we give away all the money we don't need. We pay up. We don't give it away. We pay up, right? So we give it to district, which is local. We give it to, you know, area, which is bigger. And then we give it to GSO, which is worldwide. So we split it all up because there is no reason to have all that money around, right? You keep a prudent reserve, and then you give the rest away. You give the rest away so that you don't have a lot of money laying around. Because one of the reasons is that money can be a problem,
yes,
right? Like you said, and you're right, especially in groups. You know, like it can give some groups more power than other groups, right? Especially when, you know, we have a recovery club in the area. So if you have very flush groups, then they could think, oh, we have more power than this group that, you know, can't even make a donation. Well, that's not the way we work. Every group is, you know, every group is on equal footing.
I live in South Windsor. South Windsor is a comfortable community. Mm-hmm. I'm not the richest person in South Windsor, but I have a lot more money than some people do. And there's a lot of wealthy people. And you could have some of these suburban, very white towns that can generate a lot of revenue. And you run the risk that that group is more powerful than the group that's in downtown Hartford that meets at 7 in the morning and may be filled by a couple of homeless people who are looking for a warm place. Mm-hmm. Or might be near sober houses in a poor end of East Hartford that has a hard time generating anything.
Right.
And regardless of where you're from or what your means are or nationality or whatever, there is an equality of the person who is coming in, who is homeless and has a desire to stop drinking, is as important as somebody who makes six figures a year, because alcoholism doesn't differentiate. So we shouldn't differentiate. And this is one of the things around the tradition. And Steve was talking a little bit about the pie. If you're not part of AA, there is this pie that you give to of a percentage that suggested a certain suggestion to these groups within the structure of AA to support getting the message out. Because as you go up the inverted triangle or go down the inverted triangle, there are those things like alkathons or gatherings or sissy pa, or there are things that are done on behalf of a district or an area that requires money to fund it.
Right.
And that comes from the groups.
Or making sure that there are other language than English meetings, yes, right? Spanish language meetings. Maybe if you have a bigger community, if you live in a bigger city that has a Korean population, maybe have a meeting that does that, or we, you know, New Britain in the town in Connecticut has a big Polish, you know, so maybe you have some of these meetings around there that allow, because not only do you need the meeting that maybe they're talking, you may need literature in that language, right? So,
yes,
you know, so GSO prints that stuff and that costs money, right? And sometimes, again, those are the groups a lot of time that can't afford it. right? They can't afford to do it. There might be new, and they can't afford to do all that stuff. So there has to be some support. So it's really a complex, you know, like we said, I don't have all the answers. It's complex. I have some concerns about AA. I have some concerns that, it's going away. Not that it's going away at all. It's not. You know, the groups will always be there. It's the second time it got hit hard during the pandemic. And like I said, you know, we just got this message that they got this deficit going now, and they have some reserve funds, like they'll be okay. And they put the word out, and they'll get some extra donations, so they'll be fine. I just wonder going forward, like what is it going to look like, and what's it going to look like 20 years from now, right? I mean, that's the future. Like, is somebody really looking at that?
Probably not. I think there's a lot of people who are the tried and true AAers who got sober a certain way and are resistant to change. And I hate to say, you've got to think about some income streams just to keep things going. That I think there is the risk that the meetings end up as a confederation. That there is the reason you have a district and an area and a GSO is it's a communication conduit between the meetings.
Right.
And you run the risk that there are meetings, but they're not connected by anything. They're just fully independent and they don't communicate with each other. And there are risks there. I don't think you end up getting rid of meetings. You might get rid of some other structure. You may not have the money to do an alkathon or something. Who knows? I think there is an opportunity to figure out what needs to happen digitally, because you have Jill's a great case. I use Jill because I talk to her all about this stuff all the time. $39 a month, which is one of the cheaper ones. There's some that are like $500, $1,000, more than that for one-to-one. And that's all done via Zoom or via an app. Recovery Elevator has something that's very similar to that. And the AA digital tools suck. I never got a schedule book when I went to my first meeting. I found it online because that's where I would think of going. And there's not very good apps. There's not a very good YouTube channel. I think there's something digitally to spread the message that we're missing out on, because people under a certain age do not pick up paper. And every day that goes by, that's less and less. We are at the place where the maximum amount of people who are going to pick up a physical copy of media in AA today is the peak. It will never be greater than today.
You're right.
Tomorrow will be the second biggest.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Or it goes
down. It's interesting because our local paper, right? I'm old enough that I still do enjoy some print media, and I get a local paper, although I've talked about getting rid of it. Our local paper was sold to a larger corporation, a national corporation, and it's changed a lot. And people were talking about it.
It's a hedge fund.
And I said, and I posted it. This came across Facebook in one of the local groups I'm in. And I said, you know, listen, there was nobody lined up to buy this newspaper, right? It wasn't like they had a bunch of bidders on it and they could pick the best bidder. Like, this was probably the only person offering to buy it. And
if
I said,
Bill Savitt's not coming out of that grave to buy it.
And I said, listen, there, between my wife and I, we have four adult children, all professionals, right? All make decent money. And not one of them subscribes to a single print media. Not one of them, right? They're your age. They're in that group, right? Some a little bit younger. And not one of them. And I don't ever see them, subscribing to a print media. Whether they subscribe to something online, I don't even know that. But if they do, that's where they'll go for it, you know, because it's just not where people are going. And let's face it, that's, like you said, it's the biggest number it'll ever be. So, you know, so you got to wonder about that. Like, so how does that tie? How do you feel that ties into spirituality, money and spirituality? Like, you put those two together. I don't feel like we've touched on the spirituality part of it.
It generally doesn't mix, and it can corrupt things. This is why we have a prudent reserve that you have 3 months rent, and that's what you really should keep. And then above that, you donate to other parts of AA. It can corrupt, and it can end up becoming, we have this meeting for the sake of generating revenue. And that's a problem. That's why only AA members can donate. My wife can't go in and drop a dollar if she wants to. She's not sick and suffering.
Right.
So she can't, we should not accept a dollar from her.
Right. Well, yeah.
And it's a corrupting influence.
She could go into a meeting because she went into an open meeting. She could actually go into a meeting and drop a dollar.
Oh, that's true.
Right. And it wouldn't be given. But that meeting would come from a group and it would be a dollar. Mm-hmm. Right. If she dropped in a check for $5,000 or $10,000, then that wouldn't be accepted. Right. That's the same thing. Like if she walked in there and she dropped in a check that was written out to either the group, or that would not be accepted. But she can certainly go in there and drop that off. But I agree. Like, listen, money corrupts, just like power corrupts. Mm-hmm. I was part of a group years ago. And it's interesting because the other reason why it's not good to have a lot of money is because we turn over our finances to drunks, to alcoholics. On occasion, the alcoholics is not a healthy person and will take that money and use it. And I was part of a group that was happening with. This was somebody with long-term sobriety. At least they claim to have long-term sobriety. And other members who had been part of this group could tell. Like they were like, we should have more money and we don't. And they finally took that treasury away from this person. And it was true. And then shortly after that, it's like 6 months after that, we had all this money in there, right? And it was like, oh, you could actually see what was happening. And that happens. And I don't, you can always try to pick the right person, but for the most part, we're still sick and suffering. And a lot of times you want to give a lot of these jobs, not so much the treasurer's position, but you do want to give it to sort of newer people too, so that they can do this work and they can do some, I've heard people like they've never balanced a checkbook until they maybe did some work on an AA meeting finance. So stuff like that. So it's always a fine line to walk, to be very careful on it. And you have to expect some bumps along the road, like you said, because money and spirituality don't mix that well.
I don't remember where I read it. I think I read somewhere that AA meetings should be living in poverty, that the term poverty comes up in there. It should be, they basically should be very, very bare. You should live in poverty. If you're an AA meeting, it shouldn't be about generating a certain amount of revenue. Should be pretty lean.
And I agree with that.
Minimal. You need to keep as little as possible to carry the message and operate things. And above that, get rid of it.
Right. And I remember when I first came out, I didn't understand that. And then as I settled into the program, I realized that. But I agree now because number one, you want that money to go to work, right? So if you're sitting on $600 or $700 or whatever it might be, it's not helping anybody. Right? It's not working for the next sick and suffering alcoholic.
Right.
So when you start, distributing it out to the other, to the other areas and stuff, then it could get to work. Whether it's paying to print some books, whether it's paying to upgrade some digital media. Sitting on money, and now I'm all for that. Like, and that's why we do. We typically do it quarterly, right? Because you don't want to overburden a treasurer or something like that. Quarterly, you should wipe it all out, keep your prudent reserve so that you can keep having your meeting. That gives you time to adjust if you need to adjust something. And then, the rest, give it away.
So I hope this has been a good primer for you of why money and spirituality don't mix, why it's important to put a dollar in the basket, maybe two, maybe three. There is inflation there to help things go. Why AA has to pay rent because we'd be breaking the traditions, and why we have to live in poverty. I will tell you this. It's good for you to donate to us so we can pay for our website, our hosting fees, and get the message out, because there is expenses for this, and you have been a very generous audience, and we are in very good shape for the three. We're coming up on one of the bigger ones, which is the website is up, the email service is up, and basically the money that you donate, I put into a PayPal account, which is interest bearing, and I leave it there. And then when it comes time to re-up the website, it just drafts out. When we do the recording software that we're on, it will just draft out, and I just put it aside. And I think in terms of might not get another drop of money. Not another dime might come in. And I want to make sure that we have it to minimize some of these expenses. Some of the stuff is expensive. Some of it is not. But you helping us out are doing an amazing thing, even if it's like $5. So everybody who has bought us a coffee, you are amazing. You are helping people. And when I feel as though nobody's listening, I get a message from somebody like Bill who said, I had a slip, but you're part of what keeps me sober. Or the guy on Facebook who said, hey, I'm sober, been sober a while, but I'm kind of struggling and I want to go to a meeting. And it allows things like that.
Sounds great.
Awesome. All right, Steve. Thanks for another awesome show.
Hey, Matt, have a great night. Yeah, thanks for putting this on, for all the work you do. You do all the work. I just show up and talk.
Yeah, I was listening. I got another new podcast that I'm listening to. This is my resentment. I'm listening to Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen.
Oh, man.
And it's done by Major Garrett. Man, I am binging this thing. It is the greatest ever.
Oh yeah.
You know what pisses me off? I was with my son Owen at the very end when he's going, you know, this is narrated by me, Major Garrett. Our executive producer is this person. Our producer is this person. Writers are this, and this. Our engineer is this. Sound design done. I'm like, you mother effer. I'm doing this. It's like you and me, Steve, putting in the content and then I'm cutting it up. There's no one here doing this. It's a one man, two man shop. These people, yeah, those podcasts sound great. You know why? Because there's like 20 people behind them. So support the little guys like us.
That's
all right, everybody.
We'll
see you next week. Bye, everybody. You made it this far into the podcast. That tells me you're a pretty big fan. If you like what we do and you find value in the podcast, consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod. Your donation keeps us on the air to help out the new guy and helps us defray some of our costs. If you find value in our podcast, please consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod.